The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
This is Denise Nostrom, CEO and founder of Diversified Financial Solutions. Now more than ever, investment advice is needed. Not just where best to invest your money, but why. Are you investing for your future retirement? Are you retired and looking to maximize your income? Are you maximizing your income and concerned with leaving money for your loved ones? Are you investing for your retirement at the same time saving for your children's education and at the same time saving to buy another home? Are the markets in line with your goals? Are your goals ever changing? Please contact me at 631-758-8691. That's 631-758-8691, or visit us at diversifiedfinancial.biz. For over 25 years, I have been helping individuals, families, and business owners navigate through all market conditions with only one goal in mind, my clients. Visit me at diversifiedfinancial.biz or call Denise Nostrom, founder of Diversified Financial Solutions, at 631-758-8691. That's 631-758-8691 for a conversation about my most important client, you. Hello and good afternoon on this rainy afternoon. It just really was perfect timing where it started right during rush hour. But thank you for tuning in and spending some time with me today. We made it to Friday by the skin of our teeth. I'm telling you, everybody's really on edge, but hopefully after the show, you're going to feel a little bit better and a little bit calmer about things. It's been a rough week, but you are listening to The Financial Chick Show, and I am The Financial Chick. My name is Denise Nostrom, the CEO and owner of Diversified Financial Solutions. So I'm going to jump right in today because I have a guest with me, an esteemed guest with me that I'm really, really excited to have join me. If you've been listening for a while, he has been on the show before. He was actually on July of last year. So I want to welcome Paul Meeks back to The Financial Chick Show. Paul, are you out there?
I sure am.
All right.
Excited to be here too.
Fantastic. Now Paul is calling in. I think you're are you driving are you in Virginia or you're traveling, right?
I am in my home office, which happens to be in Charleston, South Carolina.
South Carolina. Okay. I can't keep track of you. You're all over the place. But that's all good. So, Paul is a professor at the Citadel and has over 30 years of experience as an institutional equity analyst and portfolio manager. He's also best known for investing in technology stocks. But he's also so awesome that he's a contributor to CNBC and has been doing so since 1995. He's even co-anchored with Maria Bartiromo, and I just love her, so she's awesome. That's a cool thing. And the best part is that Paul works with my firm as a money manager, and well, of course, he's my friend, so it's all good stuff. So, Paul, where do we begin?
Well, we are really unprecedented times. Since the end of the Second World War,
mm-hmm.
we've only had four instances, and this is the fourth, in which we've had the market drop 7 weeks in a row.
Wow.
And so it is really uncharted territory. I know it's super scary.
Yep.
And of course, you know, it's uncertain for me as well as everybody else. But, you know, the way I look at this is we have some great opportunities, I think, to reposition portfolios. And everybody says that they're long-term focused, but then they get rattled when their stocks drop the next day. But if you truly are long-term focused,
yeah,
I don't want to say today's the day, but we're getting pretty close to some real sweet buying opportunities.
All right. Well, that's a good thing to hear, because my clients and my listeners are definitely looking for some signs of life in this market and the economy. So I guess what do we make from all this market volatility? Like what's really propelling all of this this craziness?
Yeah. So as we entered this year, you know, we knew that inflation was hot, and the way that you lower inflation in this country is through monetary policy, which is the control of the Federal Reserve Board, our bank.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, no surprise, because they've telegraphed that, they're raising interest rates pretty aggressively. And interest rates have been pinned to the floor, i.e. zero, for essentially all these years since the financial crisis in 08.
Yeah.
And so it is a shock to the system. But inflation, I'm hoping, has peaked. And when I say peaked, it doesn't mean that it's going to go all the way down to the rate that where it was before COVID. Mm-hmm. Because right now it's at 8%. Back then it was 2%.
Right.
But I think the market can get a rally if we just start showing continued increases, but at a lesser rate. So if you had something like it was 8% last month, then it goes to 7%, then it goes to 6%, then it goes to 5%. So it's still increasing, but at a lesser rate, that could really trigger a stock rally. Mm. So I'm looking for the inflation beast to be tamed. And when that happens, I think there's going to be some good stuff.
All right. So and you pretty much, when you say inflation across the board, I mean, because I know people are really feeling the pinch. Obviously, the big one is fuel, you know, energy, gas. Yeah. But then there's food, and then there's, you know, products that we have, cars and everything. Is it going to be an across the board, or what would you think? How is that going to look?
Well, when you take a look at the components of the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, mm-hmm. the 8% number from last month that I was referring to, the biggest piece of the puzzle and the most scary is energy.
Right.
And we've seen a price of a barrel of oil, which is a commodity, whether you buy it in the States or you buy it abroad, increase by about double
in
the last year or so. Now, some of it is the supply chain snag, and hopefully that lessens itself as we get out of COVID. And some of it, unfortunately, is the war, because the Russians do control, not a huge amount, but a significant amount of oil and natural gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, it is a trickle down. I mean, when you think about energy is the big piece, because when, you know, my husband is a truck driver, so when he has to bring cars from, you know, the auctions or to the dealerships, and, you know, diesel fuel's hovering around $7. That's a tough situation to deal with. And then the food that's brought to our stores and the clothing, and it just kind of becomes infectious at that point.
Yeah, of the 11 sectors that make up the U.S. economy and make up the stock market, the only sector that actually has a positive return, and it's a pretty sterling return, is, of course, the energy sector.
Yeah.
So companies like Chevron and ExxonMobil that people hated for a lot of years as we were going from, you know, dirty energy to clean energy, they're now the favorite stocks because we still need our oil, and there's a lot of demand, but not enough supply.
Yeah. And then we're going into the driving season, presumably, but, you know, people may be pulling back and not doing as much driving because of the price of fuel. So it's going to be an interesting time, that's for sure.
Yeah, and there's other pieces too. This week, both Target and Walmart, who are pretty good operators, announced their results, and they had pretty poor earnings and guidance for more poor earnings, and it had nothing to do with sales. They still have pretty robust sales, but the problem is they got to buy their goods before they resell them in the store, mm-hmm. and they're seeing inflation. You know, some of the stuff that you talked about, like including foodstuffs, you know, 20% over the last year. That's going to squeeze their profits.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the one winner was Home Depot. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, Home Depot.
They did a great job.
Yeah, I have a pretty good read on them. I own the stock, and, you know, Home Depot and Lowe's report about the same time. And Home Depot did great, you know, because what they were able to do is, yeah, their cost of goods are going up too. But they've been able to push through price increases. And that's the key. What businesses, these are the ones you want to own during this time, actually have the wherewithal to push through a price increase. We don't like it as a consumer,
right.
But it is good for a business. You know, if your cost of goods go up 20%, if you can hopefully boost your prices and somebody still buys your stuff, that's the kind of stock you want to own in this environment.
Yeah. And I'm sure it has a lot to do with the real estate market, too. You know, people have been buying homes like crazy. And like you said, they want to improve their home, or they want to, you know, do some stuff outside with the plants and the trees. Yeah. So it all kind of makes sense when you look at it as a big picture.
Yeah. And then during COVID, you know, we all were working or playing or studying from home. And then all of a sudden, you know, our tiny crappy home office had to be redone. And so we went to Home Depot and Lowe's to, you know, goose it up. So that's definitely part of the theme. And part of it is this kind of, the life is going to be different coming out of COVID.
Yeah. 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 A lot of people are still working from home as we speak, you know, and that may continue with some companies. So it's a very interesting story for sure.
Yeah. We'll probably at least have a kind of hybrid society, right? You'll go to the movie theater once in a while, but most of the time you'll be doing video streaming from your couch. It'll be some kind of hybrid between the old and the new.
Right, right. So we're getting close to the break, but you know, I think on the next half we'll talk a little bit about some stock valuations and the rising interest rates, and maybe we'll throw in a little bit about the midterm elections too, and see how all of this will be part and parcel of what we can expect. Because I will tell you, my clients have been calling, as I'm sure you would believe that to be the case. So everybody's seeking answers or just an understanding of what's going on. And I'm glad that you're here, Paul, because you have the answers. Well, at least you have a good, you know, a good handle of the things. While I'm busy doing all of the crazy things at work, I'm so glad I have you, you know, just a call away to get all the information that I need to help my clients. So I appreciate you.
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right. Well, we're here at the break. We'll be back after the break. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Thanks for staying on the line here, Paul. I believe you're still there.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're back. This is the Financial Chick Show. I am Denise Nostrom, the company's Diversified Financial Solutions. If you need to reach me, my website is financialchickshow.com, or you could reach me at 631-758-8691. Today, I am happy to have Paul Meeks, who is a certified financial analyst. He's a portfolio manager, a professor at the Citadel, a frequent guest on CNBC. What else do you do, Paul? You do a lot of things. But
a lot of things. I'm your buddy, too.
Yeah, and you're my buddy, too. So, and I'm blessed to have you here on my show and as my buddy. So so we were talking before the break, trying to, you know, this has been a rough week for everybody. It's been a rough 7 weeks for everybody. So we're trying to kind of, you know, unwrap all of the stuff that's going on in the economy and in the markets today. And so I'm thrilled to have you here to import your knowledge to my clients and my listeners. So what else should we talk about? What do you want to go into the rising interest rates and how that's affecting our environment?
Yeah. So this is kind of the keys to the castle. I know it sounds a bit naive, but if you think about this, you can really understand a lot. So every asset, it could be a stock, it could be a bond, it could be a piece of art, it could be a commodity that you use, it could be your car, your house, everything is valued by, as a investor or an owner, you predict the cash flows that you're going to get from that thing. Mm-hmm. And then you discount them into the present at what we call a discount rate, which is usually used as the current interest rate. And so you have these cash flows. And in this environment, some companies are seeing their businesses ding somewhat. So maybe their cash flows are lessened. But the real problem with stocks is not the change in the revenues or the earnings or the cash flows of these businesses, but this discount factor. The discount factor is interest rates, and interest rates are rising. And so when you have math and you have a growing denominator and the same numerator in the fraction, you're going to get a lower result. And so I actually think that it won't be clear sailing. You know, there's always opportunities, but it won't be clear sailing until we have a sense as to when the Fed will stop raising rates, because at that point they'll feel comfortable that they've at least dampened inflation. So I think that's really the basic. It's not like predicting one business versus another business. It's predicting when does the rate increases stop.
Right.
And they'll probably stop, you know, sometime in the next 12 to 18 months. You know, they're already in this regimen where every time they meet, and the Fed meets every 6 weeks, you know, they raise rates. It's well telegraphed, no surprise. But when we get that sense that, you know, the beatings will stop, I think we're going to have a real nice rally.
All right. Well, that's optimistic, but it is true. And it's, well, I think they were talking today that the next time they're looking for a 1% move.
Some people are worried about the rate increases. I actually would like to take the poison quicker. mm-hmm. you know, kind of stretching it out.
True.
And so, yeah, last time they met, they increased by 0.5%.
Right.
Now they're talking about potentially doing 0.75% or even 1%. And I know that sounds scary, but man, that gets us closer to the finish line.
Yeah, exactly.
Think that would be,
it's a positive thing.
That'd be welcome news.
Yeah. And, you know, they're trying to mitigate inflation as well, you right. know, right? They're trying to knock it down and hoping that that's going to be the pill that, or the remedy, I guess, to the illness, yeah. right?
Yeah, because when I mentioned before that Target and Walmart had these really scary cost of goods increases that they announced in their quarter just a few days ago, that really rattled the market.
Yeah.
But those companies are well regarded for managing their business pretty tightly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the Fed was listening to that news just like the rest of us and probably has even a greater sense of urgency now.
Yeah, that's
to
true.
To tame the inflation beast. And I think, you know, let's get aggressive. Let's get it over with and let's move on. So I actually welcome that.
All right. I like it. I like it a lot. So stock valuations, what do you think there in terms of where stocks are?
Yeah. So with this discount factor mechanism, you know, stock valuations come way down. And the ones that they've hit the most are the most aggressive growth in tech stocks,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they're the ones that have, you know, most of their earnings and stuff, you know, well into the future. And so I think what happens is even when the market comes back, and it will, I think we might have kind of a shuffling of the deck where instead of those fast growth tech companies, you know, the FANGs and some of these other leaders of the last cycle, I think mm-hmm. going forward, we got to be much more valuation sensitive, even within the tech sector. And so I think, yes, they'll come back, but I think it's going to be a different group of leaders. It may not be the FANGs. It might be some other guys.
Right.
But also, you know, the way that you can at least partially climb into the bunker to defend yourself is to be not in those aggressive growth or tech stocks, but in things like energy, which are obviously beneficiaries. Materials companies, you know, their prices are going up. Think of all your commodities. And then utilities. You know, people don't usually yeah. like to invest in utilities because they're very boring.
Right.
But the guys that deliver, you know, the gas and the electric to your home have actually a pretty nice local monopoly in your neighborhood. And they also pay pretty big dividend yields. And so they're pretty good place to hide when things are really uncertain. You don't want to invest in those companies. They're too boring for a bull market.
Right.
But in a bear market, they're pretty good cash flow companies and relatively safe.
All right. Well, that's absolutely good advice. And it is interesting. I would say that to my clients, too, that, you know, is the sexy stuff last year, you know, the Facebooks, the Apple and Netflix. And that was all the craze. And don't forget about Bitcoin. And, you know, we won't go much into that, but we saw what that has come to these past several months, too. You know, so sometimes the, you know, the fun and exciting and sexy stuff is not the stuff that's going to get you over the line of retirement or just growing your portfolio. So,
yeah, well, particularly if their, you know, stock valuations were, you know, propelled to these egregious levels by this low interest rate environment,
mm-hmm.
That means that even though some of those stocks have come down from the top 30, 40, 50%, they still are not that inexpensive to get me to bite. You'd
right,
think, oh my
right.
God, it used to be 400, now it's 200. It must be, it's a half off deal. It must be great. Well, no. If it's going to go to 100 next, you don't want to be in it.
Right. Right. Well, you being the technology guy, what are some of the names that that you're looking at right now? I mean, it seems like a lot of your names have fallen off your radar, but what's on your radar at this point?
Yeah. You know, there's a couple of companies that were tech leaders that I think continue to be tech leaders. You know, I think Microsoft, Apple, and Google, among the FANG or the tech titans, will still be fine. I'm no fan here of Amazon, Netflix, or Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think there are some stocks that address cybersecurity that almost no matter what happens to the market, you know, the demand for cybersecurity services and software is explosive. And there's a company called Palo Alto Networks, ticker symbol PANW.
Okay.
That reported a unbelievable quarter last night, despite this craziness. 40% growth. And
wow.
I would say Palo Alto Networks, because laser beam focused on cybersecurity is like a winner among the tech group, which is obviously out of favor right now.
Right, right. Well, that's a pretty good sector. And you know, as we move along in technology, it just seems like there's more of the bad people keep coming out of the woodwork. So that is a big category.
Oh, yeah. Bad people, not just in the U.S., but abroad.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, they are hell-bent on, you know, hacking not just our businesses, but our federal and state governments. And yeah, Palo Alto Networks and some of the other companies in that space, their products are super hot and well demand.
Interesting. Well, that's awesome. Awesome suggestion and recommendation. We're coming to the end of the show. I can't believe it went so fast. We really didn't get to talk about the midterm elections, but that just means that you have to come on again before the midterm elections. So, Paul, thank you so much. Paul Meeks, everybody. You know, I appreciate you at the time and the knowledge you imparted and the recommendations to my clients and my listeners. And give me a call at the office. I mean, I have Paul. If you have questions, I can certainly answer those for you. So have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Friday.
Advisory services offered through Blackridge Asset Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities are offered through Peak Brokerage Services, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Blackridge Asset Management and Diversified Financial Solutions are separate and independent entities from Peak Brokerage Services.